brothers are gonna march off the stage singing, you know. Get that old school turn on them, you know what I mean? Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and redeemer, that someone might hear and in hearing might believe and in believing might be saved, and that someone would grow closer and gain understanding in their walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What was the most difficult subject you took in school? Maybe I should ask it like this. What was the test that you dreaded the most? For somebody, maybe it was math, whether it was algebra or trigonometry or pre-calculus or calculus, you were like, man, that's a test I don't ever want to take again. Maybe it was in science, biology, chemistry, organic chemistry, engineering. Maybe it was in English. You couldn't get those verbs and subjects to agree. Maybe you struggled with diagramming sentences. Maybe for somebody it was a foreign language. You just couldn't get that conjugation right. Maybe you're like some people, you just don't like taking tests. It don't matter what the subject is, right? And one of the great things about being out of school is I have no more tests to take. Well, my brothers and sisters, I got some bad news for you. While you may not have to take a test in a classroom, everyone at one point or another in life will be tested. And one of the areas God will allow you to be tested is in the area of your faith. Life will test your faith in God. Trials will knock at your door. Storms will shake your foundation. And fear will whisper in your ear that you're not going to make it. But the Word of God teaches us that a faith that cannot stand a test is a faith that cannot be trusted. In order for you to really determine whether or not you are where God wants you to be, you have to pass the testing of your faith. See, every believer will face moments when your faith is put on trial. And when your faith is put on trial, it's not put on trial to destroy you. It's put on trial to develop you. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to pass the testing of your faith. Pass the testing of your faith. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download a copy of the outline at our app, the Good Hope app, wherever you get your apps, or go to our website, goodhope.org. We're in the book of Daniel today, and recorded in this first chapter of this book, we see the stand of four young Hebrew exiles against personal defilement. Their faith in God is tested. And that test requires courage, determination, commitment, and obedience to God. And here's what is interesting about this test. This battle for the purity of their faith in a foreign and antagonistic culture is presented through the lens of Daniel. And when we see this test occurring, we don't know at the time of this test that it's really a test that is preparing them for other tests that will come later on. But it's as if God has to say to them, listen, let's see if you can pass the test in this somewhat innocuous situation, so that when you get later on to the big test, you will have confidence in me because you have trusted me in the little things. A lot of times when we walk this Christian life, we don't realize everything we go through in life is really a test. Everything in life is designed to teach you one of three things: to teach you something about somebody else, to teach you something about yourself, or to teach you something about God. And the question is, will you learn while you're going through so you'll be better prepared for what you will go through later on? Three things I want you to see today if you're going to pass the testing of your faith. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must focus on keeping God's purpose for your life even when your faith is challenged. You must focus on keeping God's purpose for your life even when your faith is challenged. The text says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the New Living Translation, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid the king will have me beheaded. Daniel spoke, verse 11, with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. At the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. Somebody in here, you probably have heard, maybe you have participated in, whether it was here at the church or other churches, the Daniel fast. Well, this is where the Daniel fast comes from. Comes from the book of Daniel. Go figure. And Daniel made a deal. They were offered the finest food and wine from the king's table. But Daniel knew that that was a temptation that he did not need to succumb to. While he was given a choice, Daniel said, I will not violate the law of God and partake of that which has been offered to idols. So let me present an alternative. My brothers and sisters, look at A. You must keep God's purpose for your life when you're in a challenging place. When you're in a challenging place, that challenging place may be a mental location, may be an emotional location, a physical location, or a spiritual location. For them, it was all of the above because they had been taken into Babylonian captivity. They are exiles in a strange land. They are in the midst of strange customs, and they're being challenged as to whether or not they are going to stay true to God when it would be easier to succumb to the temptations in front of them. And they make a decision to keep God's purpose for their lives, regardless of where they are. Can I tell you something? If you ever find yourself in a challenging place, how many of you can testify that temptations will come your way? Yeah, there's a whole lot of temptations that will never come to you if you just stay at home. Y'all laughing, but I know I'm telling the truth. Man, you going to the club and you got all kinds of temptations. If you stay at home, I promise you, the temptations don't show up at the house. You have to make a decision wherever you find yourself to be who God has called you to be. And know that whenever you're in a different place or a strange place, you can be challenged to abdicate, to give up on God's purpose for your life. But not only do you have to keep God's purpose for your life when you're in a challenging place, A, B, you've got to keep God's purpose for your life when you're in a challenging predicament. All of the exiles, all of the young, good-looking men that were chosen to be part of this training program for King Nebuchadnezzar, every one of them was offered the same food and same drink. When the peer pressure is on you, what do you do? How easy would it have been with all of the young men gladly drinking the wine and eating the food from the king's table? How easy would it have been for Daniel to say, well, everybody else is doing it, I might as well go along and do it. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah took a stand. They took a stand in the midst of temptation, in the midst of peer pressure. They took a stand to live out God's purpose for their life. How many times did you get in trouble as a kid? Or how many times did you try to get in trouble as a kid following what somebody else was doing? Oh, I remember one time, two of my best friends growing up was Raynard and Tony. And man, if I wanted to do something, I had no business doing. All I had to do was link Tony and Raynard to it. Matter of fact, watch this. Tony and Raynard had a key to their apartment. They had a key. They would wear the key around their neck. Well, it was cool to have a key because you come and go as you please. So I went home and I told my dad, I want a key. And he said, why you want a key? I said, well, Raynard and Tony got a key. He said, yeah, but that's because nobody's home when they come home. Your mama or I, somebody's going to be at the house when you come home, so you don't need a key. Right? And you know that line that you would get whenever you would try to link up with somebody else. Well, Tony did it. Raynard did it. What would your mama or daddy say? Well, if Tony jumped off a building, you going to jump off a building with him? You had the same mama I had, right? If Raynard jumped in front of a car, you going to jump in front of a car? Listen, the truth of the matter is each of us, even though we're part of a group, part of a collective, part of the family of God, we've got to walk this Christian journey for ourselves. That's why the old folks said every tub sits on its own bottom. You got to give account to the Lord for yourself. And when your faith is tested, I mean sure enough tested, when it is tried, you have to make sure whether you are in a challenging place or a challenging predicament that you make sure the purpose of God stays at the forefront of your mind. Here's the second thing if you're going to pass the testing of your faith. Number two, you must exercise your faith in God, especially in the presence of fear. You must exercise your faith in God, especially in the presence of fear. Verse 15, Daniel chapter 1, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. Now, whose fear did they have to overcome by faith? Asphanaz and the person that he designated to watch over them, remember what he said? I have a concern because if you don't look as good as everybody else, I'm afraid the king is going to take my head. Watch this. The only thing worse than allowing your fear to handicap you is to let somebody else's fear handicap you. In the midst of their fear, Daniel and the three young Hebrews had faith in God. They believed that God would honor their effort to honor him. It wasn't about the food that they would eat. It wasn't like the food was going to do them harm, but they knew that they had to honor God, and their honoring God would be a testimony to all that would be watching. See, Daniel demonstrated that believers can be true to their faith even in a hostile cultural environment. There will come times, my brothers and sisters, when people may question why you're not doing certain things or why you are doing certain things, especially when those activities seem harmless and pose no visible threat to you. You have to be a person who lives the convictions that God has given you and live true to God. If you have a conviction of praying over your food, and you in a room full of heathens, don't sit there and try to mumble a quick prayer while you're running or not going over your finger on that. Lord bless the food and love the amen. Your prayer just might be the testimony, the witness that somebody needs to see. The Spirit of God leads you to talk to somebody about their faith journey. Don't question what God is leading you to do. Trust God and have faith that God will use your commitment to his purpose for your life to help change those who are observing around you. See, when your faith is tested, you must have faith that in God's care, you will not only survive, but you will thrive. And what matters most is, will your actions please God? Not please men. Will your actions please God? Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you must trust that obeying God will bless you to pass the test. You must trust that obeying God will bless you to pass the test. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. I want you to underline that phrase, God gave these four young men. God gave. Because of their obedience, they positioned themselves to receive supernatural enablement from God. Can I tell you something? What we fail to realize in life is that the overwhelming number of times miracles show up, they show up on the other side of obedience. Too many of us want God to give us a miracle and then we'll obey. And God says, no, you've got to learn how to obey in order to unleash the miracle in your life. Look at the B part of verse 17. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. Despite their age, they honored God in all that they did. Scholars believe that Daniel would serve in that position some 60 plus years. But it was because he started right that God could honor him. And even when he had to interpret a dream that the king didn't want to hear, he stayed true to what God had purposed him to do. Watch this. There's no record that says they prayed to get out of captivity. They were willing to be used in the captivity where God had placed them. Because captivity did not catch God off guard. He knew about the stiff-necked behavior of the children of Israel. He used their enemies to chastise them. And it was in the midst of that chastisement that God placed Daniel and these three young men to be used by him. Daniel was determined to honor God, even though he was living where people did not have the high standards that God demanded. See, here's what you got to understand. This would not be the only time their faith in God would be tested. Those three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose name would be changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, there's a fiery furnace waiting for them in their future that they know not of. But the faith that they had in God, when they refused the meat and the wine from the king's table, was the same faith in God that they had when they faced the fiery furnace. The king liked the interpretation of Daniel then, but when he had to make another interpretation later on that the king didn't like, he put him in the lion's den. But it was the same faith that kept Daniel away from the king's table that kept him even when the king made an edict calling for his death. Y'all, when you compromise in the little, it's hard to stay convicted in the much. See, everything you go through in life is a little test. It's a little test. And it'll build on another test. And it'll build on another test. And maybe the reason your faith in God has not passed the test is because you have been flunking in the little things, trying to convince God that you're gonna thrive in the big things. And God says, no. I need to see how you're doing the little stuff. I need to see evidence before I'll trust you with much. When you trust in God's word for your guiding principles and resolve to follow God's precepts at all costs, you will enjoy the wisdom and understanding that can only come from the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Let's read it together. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. When you live to honor God, God will honor you. But you have to trust God when your faith is tested. What an example Daniel is for you and me. In an unfriendly culture, with an unfriendly leader, in captivity, an exile, God says, despite what's going on politically, I need you to make sure your relationship with me is right. You don't ever want to compromise your faith in response to somebody who is a temporary resident in a political office. I'm trying to help somebody in here. Because while they will move in the White House and out of the White House and in the Senate and out of the Senate and in the Congress and out of the Congress, God is always on the throne. How often are you tempted to compromise your commitment to the Lord? How often has the culture around you tempted you to commit some sin that you would not normally commit, except you were pressured to do it? How often do the luxuries of the world tempt you to disobey God? How often have you allowed your desire for position, for power, and for prestige consume you beyond God's purpose for your life? How often have you put achieving your personal ambition before serving God? How often has the culture around you tempted you to keep silent about the fact that you know Jesus as your Savior? See, every day of your life, you will face temptations to compromise your commitment to the Lord. But you've got to be faithful in living for God, no matter what. No matter how much pressure people, places, or predicaments may put upon you, you have to stand fast and not give in to the seduction of sin. Whether it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, God says your faith is going to be tested. So are you going to pass the test? Or are you going to flunk and have to go back to a remedial class to get where God ultimately wants you to be? See, no matter how appealing, attractive, or enticing the urge may be, you must take a strong stand for the Lord. You must purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself and you will not deny or defy God. Look at Matthew 10, 22. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's read it together. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor, that your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, everybody say due season. In due season, watch this, due season is not chronological time, it's kairos time. It's not sequential linear time, it's God's appointed time. In due season, you will reap if you do not give up. If you want to pass the test of your faith, you must keep your eyes on God's purpose. You must exercise your faith even in the midst of fear, your faith in Him. And you must trust that obedience will always lead to blessings. Even when you don't see the blessing in what you're going through, you've got to trust God that there's a blessing in it. Let me put a cord in the meter and stop right there before I take my seat. I'm dealing with some stuff right now, and it just wasn't making sense to me. It just didn't make sense because everything I did was aligned, and it was A, B, C, and D, and I got to A and B, and then all of a sudden somebody threw a P at me. And I said, wait a minute, what happened to C? And then they threw a M at me. And I said, wait, where's this M coming from? It's supposed to be A, B, C. And I'm questioning myself and I'm questioning God. And then I was reminded that you got to trust me. And sometimes the evidence that you trust Him is how you respond to the people who are not honoring Him. You show you trust God, not by cussing folk out, not by going off, not by going back to your BC days before Christ, but by trusting God that nothing catches Him off guard. See, you got to remember, testing doesn't come to break you down, it comes to build you up. When your faith is tested, it's not a sign that God has abandoned you, it's proof that God is shaping you. Just like gold refined in the fire, your faith is purified through trials. And if you keep God's purpose in sight, exercise your faith over fear, and obey even when it costs, you will discover that God, the God who has tested you, is also the God who will bless you. See, at the end of every test, there's a testimony. And when you pass the testing of your faith, you'll have a testimony that gives God glory. So when you're in a place that feels like prison, you feel locked up and locked down, hold on, because God still has a purpose. when you're in a predicament that feels like punishment, trust God because he's working his plan. When fear comes knocking at your door, let your faith walk across the floor and answer the door for you. When doubt rises to steal your peace, let obedience to God be your source of relief. Because a faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. A faith that's stretched is a faith that can be strengthened. A faith that is tried is a faith that is true. And the same God who tests you will be the God who can bless you. So stand strong. In the midst of trials and tribulations, stand strong. When your faith is being tested, stand strong. Let your faith pass the test. If you trust him when you're tried, if you obey him when you're pressed, if you lean on him when the test comes, God will honor your obedience. And you'll be able to proclaim this victory in serving Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. Pray, God, that somebody who is in the midst of having their faith tested, they may feel like they're in a strange place, in a strange predicament, being challenged on the left side and on the right, being challenged in front and behind. But God, help them to understand that their faith is not relying on what they go through. It's dependent on the one who can bring them through. So many times, God, we get frustrated and upset. We get angry because we fail to keep our eyes on you. We're putting our eyes on people and places and predicaments, complaining instead of trusting. So God, I pray now for those under the sound of my voice that they would hear and in hearing would trust you and recognize that you are with them through it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray.